Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this special edition of High School Game Day. We are very glad to team up with CHTV to perform this special pregame. We are live on 91.3 WHJE, and we'll be on a delayed television broadcast alongside Sam Wiederhoff, Brady Klain, and J.D. Arlen. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Guys, I can't wait to get our second home game of the year started.
It's going to be a great one. It's going to be a matchup that we've seen last year. We've seen for quite a few years, the last 20 years, these two teams going up. Carmel coming into this 18-2 all-time. It's going to be a heck of a matchup, Brady.
It really is, especially in the battle for the Bill Duke Pigskin Trophy, one of the longest rotating trophies Carmel has played for over the last, like you said, 20 years. So it's a great tradition game. Lawrence North actually won the very first matchup between these two teams for the trophy, but the Greyhounds have held on to it ever since.
Guys, rough start to the season. Carmel started 1-2 coming into last Friday's game against Pike, which they won 38-33. Huge momentum booster. I'm really excited for this one, guys. Carmel coming in at 2-2. Same with Lawrence North. I'm excited for this one, boys.
Now let's recap the first four games of Carmel's season real quick. Thus far, they started the season at Hamilton Southeastern, and they got a 28-7 victory in that game. The defense was lights out the whole time. The Greyhounds got off to a slow start, but they ended up scoring 28 points, and a touchdown pass to Kurt Rafdahl kicked off the season. The next game, they traveled to Cincinnati LaSalle on a Saturday night, and they came out of that one with a loss by 7 points, 35-28. However, they did come back from a 27-0 deficit and actually got, like I said, got it to within a touchdown and made a huge comeback in the second half, actually had a chance to tie that game, but it did not end up working out. The next game was their first home game against Center Grove, also a loss, 24-21, and they got off to another slow start in that one, down 17-0 right away, a couple big pass plays, one to Jalen Walker, that got the Greyhounds right back in it. Were they up at one point?
They were up at one point. Yes. They were actually up 17-14 at one point in the game, and everything just sort of started to slip away after that.
They were up at one point, but they ended up losing a heartbreaker, 24-21. And then their most recent game against Pike, they traveled to play the Red Devils, and they won that one 38-33. Quarterback Michael Victrup went out in the second quarter with an injury, apparent hamstring injury, but he should be healthy for tonight. Jake McDonald stepped into that game, ran the offense well, and they actually ended up rushing for 400 yards, which really carried them. Tobias Watkins led the way with 215. Brady, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, you said something about Michael Victrup going out last game with a tweaked hamstring. He will be starting this game. That is confirmed by him and the training staff of the Carmel Greyhounds. So it's great to see Michael Victrup back in action tonight.
I can't wait to see him back in action, just like you said, Brady. So that was the summary of the Greyhound season thus far. But now let's move on to a segment we could like to call letter grades. So each phase of the Carmel Greyhounds team, we are going to give a letter grade to. Let's start out with the passing game. What do you think, Brady?
I think the Carmel Greyhound passing game is probably right at a B-plus right now. When they do decide to pass, especially when Michael Victor decides to pass, he has a tremendous arm, can drop a ball on a dime, especially to the top receivers of Jalen Walker and Ethan Merriweather. Like we saw a couple games ago, Jalen had two tremendous deep field catches, and Ethan Merriweather has had a couple spectacular highlight reel catches thus far this season. So I think the passing game right now is a B-plus, just because they don't use it as much as they should.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you right at that B-plus, but I'm going to have to add that that's a B-plus under Michael Victor. This is a great passing offense. We have a lot of weapons. We have guys on both sides of the ball that are ready to catch the football, but you need somebody that's going to have the capability to do just that, to hit those guys in the slots and know the playbook. And I think when you have Jake McDonald in, I think Carmel's sitting at about a C. But when you put in Michael Victor, definitely a B+, definitely improved. This guy is ready for action and always proving that he is a D1 athlete indeed.
Guys, I'm going to agree with you both. Be right at that B+ mark. Solely because last Friday's game against Pike, we really didn't use the pass at all in the second half because McDonald was in and Victor was in with was out with a hamstring injury. I do think we need to use the pass a little bit more. I'd like to see more passes to Marcus Perkins, and we didn't really use Ethan Merriweather at all during the Pike game. So I'm right at that B+ mark. Victor's been doing great with that running attack, but like to see his arm a little bit more here in this one.
We need to have some differing opinions, guys, because I'm going to go with a B+ as well. You guys hit it right on the button. We don't use the passing game as much as we should, just like you said, Brady. We have all the weapons. Jalen Walker, Kurt Rafdahl, Ethan Merriweather, Tobias Watkins out of the backfield. But it seems like the offense sort of sways one way or the other, possession by possession. We either run it every time one possession, or we pass it every time one possession. I'd like to see a little bit more balance out of us, and that's why we're at a B plus right now.
And like you just said, the sway of the offense is either run or pass. There's not a whole lot of combination of the two. In the last game against Pike, the third drive that McDonald was in at quarterback for the injured Michael Vigtrup, they went 15 plays downfield. Every single one of those was a run play. So they had a 15 play, every single play was a run play drive to end up a touchdown, and that shows the power of the running game for the Greyhounds.
Now, you were just talking about the rushing attack, Brady. Let's move on to that. JD, what letter grade would you give them?
Carmel has some weapons, granted, and I think Tobias Watkins is a great option when you talk about a running back that's got a low center of gravity and can break through a defensive line. But he's only one guy. He's only as good as it possibly can be. So I think I'm going to have to give Carmel a B-. Tobias Watkins is an animal. Of course he's going to be great tonight. Of course he's great every night, but he's only one guy. There's only so much one man can do for this offense.
Jack, you asked for differing opinions, and I'm definitely going to difference myself from that B- you gave him. I'm going A. I've loved Tobias Watkins, especially the rushing attack of Michael Victor. He's had 270 yards on the ground for an average of 9 yards per run and 6 rushing touchdowns. That's unbelievable for a quarterback. Victor's been able to fake out the entire defense, as we saw in last game with that read option. He fakes it to Tobias, takes it himself. I love when he does that. Also, Steven Watts has been great on the ground, along with the attack with Tobias Watkins. So I'm going to go A-plus for the rushing game, because I think that's what's been able to carry our team throughout the first four games.
I'm going to go A-minus. I'm going to split the difference between you two. I think Tobias and Steven has done a tremendous job thus far this season. Both of which are great, powerful runners. Smaller running backs that we've seen in the last couple years, because we have had Shakir Pascal and Chris Perkins, two big size, great running backs over the last 3 or 4 years. And now this year, we go to a smaller backfield, actually a whole smaller offense with three smaller wide receivers too. So the entire offense is a much smaller unit this year. But I think those two running backs, Steven and Tobias, are doing a tremendous job. And like I said, the inconsistency, I haven't said this yet, but the inconsistency of the offensive line is what is limiting, is what's holding back their limitations. So I think if the offensive line can really step up their game and maintain a consistent, non-injured pace, I think their running game will obviously bump up to an A+.
I'm going to have to agree with Brady on his initial statement again, an A-. Considering we lost Shakir Pascal and Chris Perkins, I really think our running game has done quite well this year with Tobias Watkins and Steven Watts. And considering we also have a pretty small offensive line, they weren't expected to really do much coming into the year. But I think they've done a fine job, especially last game against Pike. And that gives them an A- in my opinion. Tobias Watkins, despite his size, is such a tough runner. He's like a little bowling ball out there, diving through the defensive linemen. And he really gains a lot of yards. And Steven Watts is the bruiser. He comes in and just pounds it forward. And with that offensive line playing very well right now, I have them in an A-, but I would agree with Brady that they could bump up to an A or an A+. Now moving on to the offensive line, just like we talked about, let's give them a grade individually. Brady?
I'm going to have to go C+ to B-, just because of the inconsistency. The skill level for everyone is there, especially in the center. With Trace Crowder, started all four games this year, has been doing a tremendous job at the starting center position. He only started at center 4 games last year, and those were all in the playoffs. He got moved to center late in the year due to the injuries at the center position with Max Stewart and Nate Thompson that both got injured late in the year. So moved Chase Crowder over, and he's stuck to that position. So he's doing a great job thus far this year. I think Simon Pachar, when he plays and when he is healthy, is one of the best tackles in all of IHSA football. Watching him play, his kick step is so good. But the one thing that's holding them all back is the injuries, the inconsistency of everything. So that's why they get a C+ or B- in my book.
I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit. I'm going to go a little higher on this one. I'm going to put it right at a B because, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you said Simon Pekars is a beast. He's great. He is great at making decisions. He has a big football IQ, and I couldn't have said it better myself. He is one of the best in the league. So I think when he's playing and when he has the opportunity to get in, this team is saved on the offense. But what you did say, and the reason it's a B and not an A, is when you don't have those starters in, when you don't have those guys that have experience in, who do you have left? You don't have the experience, and you're going to risk the health of a quarterback, and that's definitely not something we want to do for this Greyhounds team.
I'm going to go solid B because I've loved what they've been able to do with the running game. They've been able to open holes that I haven't even been able to see, and that's why I put them at the B, is for that running back, for clearing the holes for the running back. But I don't think they've been able to cover Michael Vigtrup as well as they could. We saw him get sacked a lot during the Center Grove game, had that huge sack on fourth down, I really think they can get up to that A by better protection to Michael Vigtrup. And like you guys said, very inconsistent, a lot of injuries on that side. It seems like they play really well one game, and then they have an off day the next. So putting them right at the B, hopefully they can perform a little better this game against Lawrence North, but I'm going to go B for them.
Guys, I continue to say it, but great minds think alike. I'm going to go with a B also. You know, like I said, I expected the offensive line to really be at a C when, coming into the season at this point. But they've been at a B, in my opinion, because Michael Vigtrup has been scrambling around a little bit. I think it's come more from the right side than the left side all season. Jack Lorson has really stepped up and done a great job at that left tackle position. And from talking to everyone on the team, he has by far the best form on the offensive line.
Absolutely.
So hopefully he continues to do that the rest of the season, but their run blocking when they had to do it has been spectacular, just like last game against Pike. And their pass blocking, I don't know. It, like you said, it's been inconsistent. Some games Michael Vigtrup seems to get sacked more than others, like against LaSalle, and others he seems to be very protected, like that first game against HSC. So I'm at a solid B. I know Sam is, and JD is. Brady, you disagreed. What were you, I believe?
I was B-minus, yeah.
B-minus, that's right. So not too far off. Okay, now let's move on to the defensive front seven, the other side of the ball. Sam, what grade would you give the defensive front seven?
This one's tough for me, but I'm going to put them right at a B as well. I'd like to see a little more pressure on the opposing quarterbacks. I don't think they've been able to get to the quarterback as well as some other teams have. But we saw a huge momentum booster with Rodney Haywood's play against Pike last game, where he sacked that quarterback on that huge third down. So they come up really big in the clutch moments. They're not those everyday factors. I think Noah Burks is doing that, and along with the other linebackers and defensive backs. But I'm going to put them at a B just because I'd like to see a little bit more pressure on the quarterback.
I have to agree with you, Sam. Right at a B as well, just because what we've seen opposing offenses do is why they give our front seven a B. They've always run away from Michael Vigtrup, away from Cameron Hunt, even though Hunt's in the middle at a linebacker. He does alternate sides with Justin Flegg. And most of the time, they run away from Hunt and Burks. And we haven't seen a lot of Cameron Burks in the last couple games. We've seen a lot of him, but not as much as we'd like to, just because offenses are game planning specifically for him to try to get all the way away from him and keep him out of the picture. But I think everyone else in the front seven, specifically the defensive line, Britt Berry's doing a tremendous job so far as a junior two-year starter on this team, his second year starting this year. I think he's doing a great job leading it, along with Rodney Haywood and Sam Hipple, the first-year defensive lineman. So the front seven, specifically the defensive line, is why I'm going to give them a B.
I don't know, Brady. I think the defensive line has the capability to be fantastic. I think I'm going to give them an A. Right at A minus range. If you're breaking it down, I'd say like a 93%. Because they have the tools to be effective. They have those good players. They have those players that are going D1. You know, Noah Burks that you mentioned is a monster. However, the reason they're at a minus rather than a plus is I think offenses can see right through them. They know exactly what they're going to throw at them. They pick a strategy that usually works, but then they don't adapt to anything. So I think I'm going to have to sit right at that A-.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of defense that Carmel has always run, though, only with a three-man defensive front where you see a lot of other teams. And they also run a more athletic defensive front. Sam Hipple only weighing 195 pounds. Britt Berry right at 240, but is also 6'5". And Ronnie Haywood is right around 215, 220. So it's a much more athletic, smaller defensive line than most schools run. A lot of defensive lines for most schools, their average weight is right around 275 pounds. And those are much bigger players, slower players, but just trying to blow up the middle, whereas our defensive line is much more active and much quicker and have much more different types of blitzes and stunts than most teams do. So that's why they're very easy to predict, because they're those smaller, quicker, and only three of them to guard.
Now, JD, you mentioned how the defensive line has the potential to be an A or an A+. But that potential really hasn't shown that much this season, and that's why I'm going to give them a B-. They have that potential, they have that talent, but I'm going to be pretty harsh on them, because you have to game plan against the other team's strategy, and they are very predictable. And if they become unpredictable and make the plays adjust to the other team's adjustments, then I think they can be great, and they haven't showed that this season. LaSalle ran all over them. I mean, they got off to a tough start with that special teams play. And then Center Grove, I mean, they held them to 24 points. That's pretty good for a triple option offense, but still, Center Grove rushed for a million yards, it seems like. And last game against Pike, you know, there were some times where Pike really got loose and scored some points. They scored 33 points. So the defensive front seven, they have the talent, I just don't think it's quite there yet. I give them a B-. Okay, let's speed it along now. The defensive secondary. We just talked about the front side. Now let's talk about the backside. Brady?
I think the defensive secondary, once again, like I said, they haven't had much to show for. A lot of teams are running style teams. So I think what they've shown so far, they're right at a B+, A-, right at an 89-90% range, just because they have the ability, but they haven't been used a lot.
I think this secondary is unstoppable. I think they're one of the key parts of the team. I'm actually going to have to give them an A+. After the performance at Pike last week, Alex Akins blocking two field goals. Extra points. Like, are you kidding me? That's insane. That is something you hear about in the NFL. This guy and Jake Leach are running this team. They are making this a no-fly zone over Carmel, Indiana tonight.
There you go.
And that's why I'm going to have to give them an A+.
I'm going A-. Everything you just said was true, JD, but the only thing that's holding them back from an A+ is they haven't been able to force a lot of turnovers. They've only had that one interception by Akins and that one fumble return by Akins, but the play by Akins this year has been unbelievable, worthy of Mr. Football. He's really stepped it up. Noah Burks not really showing the 2014 what we saw of him. I think this might be the game he might be able to break out. He had a great game last game. And the play of Jake Leach has been great too. Watch out though, because Jake Leach actually does have an arm injury. He's wearing an arm sleeve right now. So he told me personally that he's not 100%, but we're going to make sure that come test day today. So that defensive secondary going to go with an A-. They've been pretty great this year, just forcing a little bit more turnovers.
Sam, you hit the nail on the head once again. A-, or at least in my opinion. He hit the nail on the head, A-. That no-fly zone has been very good this year. Now, against Pike, overall their performance was pretty solid. But at the end of the game, there were a couple times where they went for tackles on pass plays over the middle, and they completely missed them. Next thing you know, touchdown. That happened twice at the end of the game, and that helped Pike sort of stay around or get close or increase their lead a little bit earlier in the game when they were up 26-14. Now, if it weren't for that, I would give them a solid A. But a couple things, a couple plays here and there, and that sort of has reduced their grade. Now let's move on to special teams. You mentioned the two blocked extra points by Alex Akins. Kicker Nick Stacy really hasn't had to do much this year, and Alvin Seal has had an overall solid season at punter. What grade would you give the special teams, JD?
Special teams, again, sitting right in an A. I've been keeping track on my broadcast of how many extra points in a row that Nick Stacy has kicked, and that is 62. He didn't miss a single one last season, and then he has not missed a single one this season. So I'm going to have to give him an A. They're reliable. They're exactly what you look for in a special teams. And what they might miss sometimes in what they might miss sometimes in kickoff distance, they make up for in that reliability when it comes to field goals and extra points.
I'm going to have to agree with JD on that one, with them right at a solid A range. I think everything overall on their special teams is fantastic, except for one thing, and that's their kickoff returns. We haven't seen a kickoff return for a touchdown in over 3 years, this Carmel team. The one kickoff return we saw for a touchdown was 2 years ago in the state championship game, Austin Roberts. That one got called back. Austin Roberts had one that year, too, so we haven't seen a kickoff return for a touchdown in 3 years, and I think we're well overdue for one, and I'd be very excited to see if Jalen Walker can bust one of those loose because of the pure speed that he possesses in that backfield.
I'm going to go A- solely because of that punt return against LaSalle, and that coverage was not very good on that, and we saw in that game, that clearly changed the whole game after that punt return for the touchdown. So I'm going to go A-. Nick Stacy has been great at kicker so far. Alvin Seal has really been able to pin teams back in their own territory with his punts, and Alex Akins, we saw him block two extra points last game. I expect a lot more from him on the special teams side. Should be a good game for the special teams today.
I'm going B+. That punt return, that coverage was terrible. It quite frankly was, and that changed the whole game. I really think that was the difference maker in that game against Sal. But the punts by Alvin Seal, he's had a couple short ones here and there, but overall, he's really done a good job of pinning teams back deep in their own territory. Nick Stacy really hasn't had to kick many field goals. The ones he has had to kick, he's hit. And that stat on extra points you mentioned, JD, that's a good stat. And in high school, that's actually a lot tougher than you think, hitting 62 extra points in a row. At a high school level, you don't see that too often. So Nick Stacy doing a great job for the Greyhounds once again. And their coverage units overall have been pretty solid. The return games, I'd like to see a little bit more out of them. So special teams, B+. Now the overall grade as a team through these first four games, a 2-2 record. Brady, what do you think their overall grade is?
B+ to A-, like I said, and just averaging out all of the grades that I've given them, I think all the parts for everything is there. They have all the athletes, they have all the correct coaching. They just need to put it all to use right now. They've done everything very well in the sense that the coaching, they're very well prepared for almost everything they've played against, specifically Center Grove, which is one of the hardest teams to prepare against because of that triple option. And they did very well, almost practically shutting them down until late in the game when Center Grove did come back. But I think right around a B-plus to A-minus, just because they haven't shown full potential playing and learning or putting forth what they did in practice.
Overall, I think I'm going to have to give the Carmel Greyhounds a solid A. I think we had a rough start at the beginning of the season. Even when we did get the W against HSE, those next two games were pretty rough. So I think we've redeemed ourselves. I think we're back. I think we have all of the weapons to carry us at least well into the state competition. So I'm going to have to sit in an A. I think we're an overall great team, and I think I'm expecting a win tonight.
First three games, I'm going B-. Then we had that game against Pike where we had our backup quarterback, and we were able to come up with a victory 38-33. So I'm going to go all the way up to B-plus right now. We do have a lot of talent on this team. Like you guys said, it's all about putting it together. B-plus right now, but I think that's definitely going to go up after the game tonight.
B-plus, just like you said, Sam. This team has a lot of talent. Sam, I know you. I know you're holding your arms up.
Seems like I'm on the nail every single time.
I've agreed with you a lot this pregame.
That doesn't happen very often.
That does not happen very often. But you've done a great job today, Sam. I'm really proud of you. So, B-plus for the Greyhounds. They have a lot of talent. I think they're a state championship caliber team. We've seen a few questionable performances here and there. 2-2 start, but those are against two very difficult opponents. And overall, B-plus for them. So, a pretty good report card for the Greyhounds. No grade less than a B-. And the last few years, no team would really have a grade less than a B-. This team, this program, is powerhouse every year. Now, unfortunately, we have to move on to our predictions and key players. We had two extra segment scheduled, position matchups and over-under. But due to time, we're moving on to our predictions and key players. At the end, I'll make my selection on whether or not Lawrence North or Carmel will win. And we actually have a helmet here. And if I choose Carmel, I'll put that on in front of the student section so Brady will send us off. But, JD, you start us.
This game sounds like it's decided from what I've been hearing around school and from what I've been seeing in my statistics. But you never know. So I think the Greyhounds are going to get down early. And I know that's shocking to say, but I think Lawrence North might put up a few points and then we're going to come back and win this. My final score prediction, Carmel taking home the W, 28-17.
I'm going to have to agree with the score on that one. That's actually my score. Actually, yeah, I'm going to go 28-17. I agree with you there. And talking to all the players, several of them, that seems right around what they think it'd be. They're trying to get a shutout against this much more talented Lawrence North team that we've seen in the last couple years. But the one key thing for Lawrence North, their starting quarterback last Friday broke his collarbone in the game, Jackson Hammersley. So he will be out this game. So Lawrence North to rely on their run game because one of their old running backs, who was actually their backup quarterback of the last 2 years, is now bumped over to the quarterback position, so they're now more of a Wildcat-style offense. That's a sort of a pun there, too.
That was good, Brady.
That was good.
Lawrence North has allowed a lot of points, and they've scored a lot of points. Their first game was 55-50. Then they had a 65-47 win against Brownsburg. This one's going to be really high-scoring, guys. It's going to be a really big shootout. I go key player, Michael Victrup, coming off the hamstring injury. How is he going to perform? Is he going to return to the style of play that we saw in the first three games? Is the Carmel coaches going to trust him with the ball even more? Because he did hurt his hamstring on a run. So that'll be fun to watch and see if Michael Victrup holds that ball a little bit longer. We don't know. But my final score prediction will be Carmel 42, Lawrence North 24. I think that's what's going to be the victory. It's going to be close up until about the fourth quarter, and I think we run away with it, guys. But it's going to be a shootout here tonight.
That's bold, Sam.
Sam, you continue to impress me. The final score, I'm not going to say that yet because
oh, you're almost there.
Oh, my pen just flew out of my ear. But the key player will definitely be Michael Victrup, also just like you said, coming off that hamstring injury. That is huge. Now, this Lawrence North team, they can score points. 50 against, I believe, Noblesville, and somewhere in the 60s against Brownsburg, and that's a good Brownsburg team, too. So this Lawrence North team can score. So here it is, guys. I feel like Lee Corso about to make this prediction. I'm so
we're
excited.
We're ready.
We're ready. We're ready, Jack.
For those of you watching on TV, you can see we have a helmet in front of us, so take it away. What are you going to do on this one? I'll be calling this one. Jack's taking off his headset
Jack,
right now.
Let's see it. Ladies and gentlemen, the final score of Carmel versus Lawrence North will be 42-28.
That's
I got the Greyhounds.
That's right.
Let's go. Greyhound helmets. You can see it right there. student section behind going crazy, as you can somewhat hear. So Jack Kaiser picking the Greyhounds. Langston Newton's in the house. Morgan Newton's in the house. The whole Newton family's in the house. John Lambie got a whole bunch of Carmel grads in the house tonight, and everyone's excited to watch this game. I'm Brady Klain. Alongside me, J.D. Arlen, Jack Kaiser, and Samuel Wiederhaft for WHJE and CHTV. Thanks for watching.